man. He was in my face.
I'm in your face.
It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Yeah, vroom vroom, and welcome to Fast Friends, the No Dunk Summer Podcast Project, where we've decided to watch and break down every action film from the Fast and Furious franchise. I'm J.E. Skeets, a man who up until about 48 hours ago had never even watched one of these movies, but I'm here along with my fast friends, though they're really like family. Got our Fast and Furious expert. I guess he's sort of the Jesse of the bunch, but I hope he's around for episode two of this show, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And our super producer, the definite Dom of the group, that father figure, if you will, JD.
Hello.
Here he is, and here we are. Yes, before we get into this first movie, a quick thanks to everybody for checking out Fast Friends here. If you enjoy this weird thing we're going to try here this summer, about us talking about illegal street racing and heists and, of course, family, then leave us a 5-star rating and review, or better yet, subscribe to the pod on Apple or Spotify or YouTube. Our plan is to release a new edition of Fast Friends once a week, obviously breaking down each movie at a time for the next, 2 months or so? Trey, how many are there of these?
Well, how deep are we going here, Skeets? Are we going to be watching the short films and breaking them down? We got 10 films in the franchise, 2.5 months of Fast and Furious in our lives.
Wow.
I feel like Paul Rudd meme. Look at us here. Who would have thought?
Oh,
not me.
What have we gotten ourselves into? Oh, man. I'm already regretting this, I think. All right. Well, let's just jump into the first movie then, because we got 10 of these to eventually do. Maybe more with these bonus things you're talking about, these little mini shorts. My God, I didn't even know those existed. But the first movie, 2001's The Fast and the Furious, released in June of 2001. Budget $38 million, grossed over $207 million worldwide. Wow. The skinny, and we're going to go through basically the entire movie, but the skinny is LA police officer Brian O'Connor must decide where his loyalty really lies when he becomes enamored with the street racing world he has been sent undercover to destroy. Stars Paul Walker, of course, Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, I think, is the third name there.
Sure.
On the poster. And then a bunch of other characters. So, again, we're going to go through this sort of scene by scene. But, TK, you, again, are the expert. You've seen all of these movies, every movie in the canon. What do you remember about 2001? And, I mean, do you remember the theater you were in? Did you see it in theater when you saw The Fast and the Furious, the first one?
Absolutely. 2001, the year I graduated high school, watched this one at the Wow 7 Cinemas in Sandwich, Illinois. I vividly remember going with the bros. This was probably like one of the last high school friends things that we did. It came out right after we graduated that last month. We were doing burnouts in the parking lot. I remember doing burnouts down the road at Brad Cornelius' house. I'm sure his mom wasn't happy about that. Then we went and drove my 1990 Chevy Beretta 100 miles an hour on Miller Road. Oh, to be young again, Skeets. Let's just hope that Fast Friends is as big of a success as The Fast and the Furious. Yeah. Look at those numbers there. The budget is tiny, but the success is massive. Yeah. So big that I don't even think they knew they were going to do a second one. Had to do a second one. Suddenly now there's 10 of them and we're talking about all of them.
Yeah. Now, JD, like, this is sort of perfect because I'm the noob. I've never seen these, like I said, until watching them for this series here. Trey's seen them all. Again, he's sort of our expert. And you sort of fall in the middle somewhere.
I'm in the middle.
I don't believe you've seen them all. You've seen some. I think you saw this one maybe early.
Yeah, I've seen most of them. I think I rented this one after it came out, like on probably DVD, like not even Blu-ray, you know?
Oh, wow.
I was very indifferent about it, to be honest. Like, I was like, this is kind of a shit movie. It's basically Point Break with cars.
100%.
And I actually just watched Point Break immediately after rewatching this one this weekend, and it's damn close, like damn close. And I was like, has anyone How have I not heard anyone mention that it's Point Break? Like, it is basically Point Break. Yeah. It's the same plot. Same plot points. But apparently there's a big thing. If you search for there's a chart. It's basically a joke. Like, and it goes through, I think, 10 plot points that follows exactly both movies. And then the final question is like one of those, are you watching Point Break or are you watching Fast and Furious? And a final question is Vin Diesel in it? Then it's the Fast and Furious. Otherwise, it's Point Break. So it's like, so I think that pissed me off immediately when I watched it. And then, you know, we'll get into, the story and stuff. But yeah, and then I gave it up. But then when they start getting into the superhero sort of, you know, over the top stuff, I kind of got into it a little more. But I've never seen one in a theater.
Okay.
And I'm definitely not into it at all. But it's the brand has grown on me over the years, for sure.
Well, that's what's going to be hilarious, I think, about this. And we need to say that up front. I know nothing about cars. Like, absolutely nothing. I drive a Chevy Trax 2020, thank you very much. I lease it, though. I couldn't care less to own a vehicle. And again, I don't want to speak for you guys, but you guys are not you're not gearheads by any means, although mm-hmm. Trey's got the look. I mean, he's got the tank top on here today. It looks like he could pop open the hood and check my Johnson rod or something like that. But we don't know a lot about cars. But maybe you did, Trey, back in high school. Because that's... No, you didn't even know it then. Oh, okay.
No, I just knew how to floor it and leave some sick rubber behind Skeets. But the interesting thing about Fast and Furious is there's a lot of car talk in this one. There's a lot of gearhead, sicko kind of stuff in it. Mm. And by the time you get to the superhero mode, like JD's saying, once you get into 4 and 5, it's like, you don't need to know about cars. All you need to know is that they go fast. And that's something I learned early on and something that's going to continue on throughout here. But yeah, I don't know. In this one, they're giving you so many car details. They really want to bring you into the world of street racing. And pretty quickly, it turns to something, you know, massively bigger than street racing. And you don't need to know quite as much about your manifold intakes or your torque off the line. Not quite as important.
Okay, hold on then. Before we even get into the movie. Again, I know nothing, so this might be a stupid question. Are these nitro NAS things, like, are these real? Is this an actual thing you can put in your car to fire it up?
I think so.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I sort of thought so, I wasn't quite sure. Okay. Okay. Well, amazing. Amazing. Now I got to get some on the Chevy Trax here so I can rip around the old neighborhood. Let's get into the movie. We open on a deserted highway where a heist crew assault a truck carrying electronic goods. They steal the cargo and they escape. We are into this movie right away, JD, basically. Yeah. And I gotta say, for never having watched a single one of these, I was like, okay, this is cool enough. They go about stealing this truck in a very weird way. Going through the windshield, an interesting option. But I was in right away. Did it hook you the second or third time around here, this movie?
Me? No, not at all. It was like, okay, here are these inconspicuous quote-unquote cars coming with green neon underneath them.
Yes.
And what always takes me out of it, okay, so they surround the truck and then they shoot a harpoon through the front windshield of the truck. Okay, fine.
strange decision. But yeah,
as we don't know anything about cars, but we're all drivers. If that happened to you, wouldn't you just hit the brakes? I mean, like, right away.
All moving on, telling truck drivers to just stop. Just stop.
Just stop the car. Stop the truck, man. All you have to do is stop the truck. But, you know, I mean, it was overly elaborate. It was kind of cool to watch. The stunts were kind of cool. Remind me, do they drive under the truck in that scene? Yeah.
Yes. We get right it twice, away. I think, in the movie, but... Right away, we're driving under trucks, which takes me back to the day I walked under a moving train, a story I've told on the podcast before. A very slow-moving train, and not my proudest moment. Never do that if you're listening out there. That's an absolute stupid decision on my part. We were in high school.
There you go.
You know, the train track was between school and home, and we're just waiting here for this long-ass train. I'm like, I'm going under it. A couple people did it. A couple people went over it. Anyway, that was cool. Anytime a car goes under a truck, looks cool to me.
Yeah. And that's why I do love this first scene, especially, you know, now watching it back. Maybe it's different when you see it the first time, but now watching it back, it's like, wow, they've got us rooting for the bad guys almost right away. Because you're like, they're going to be pulling this off. It's an elaborate heist. Like you're saying, Skeets, anytime a car goes under a semi-truck, it's a baller move.
It's cool.
So right away, you're getting like an elaborate set piece. You're rooting for the outlaws. This is what the whole franchise becomes. And you're getting it there in the first 5 minutes of the movie. And you kind of forget about it. Like, that seems just kind of like an ancillary part of the movie as things go on. But really, they just blew that whole 5 minutes out into, you know, 10, 20 years worth of franchise here. They're like, hey, that first 5 minutes was pretty baller. Let's run it back. See how many times we can go underneath that semi.
Yeah. Well, the following day, the LAPD, in conjunction, I guess, with the FBI, they're working together on this one. They sent Officer Brian O'Connor undercover to locate the crew. And he starts his investigation at Toretto's Market. They say he's been there like 8 straight days or something like that. Yeah. That's when we jump in. We see him there. He's flirting with a young woman named Mia, who we, you know, soon learn is the sister of street racer Dominic Toretto. Dom's crew, Vince, Leon, Jesse, and his girlfriend Letty, Dom's girlfriend Letty, they arrive at the shop. And then Vince, who I think has a crush on Mia, starts a fight with the undercover cop Brian, until Dom intervenes. And there is lots of tuna sandwich talk. So this scene, I mean, this is our first introduction to Brian, to the hero, really, I guess, of the movie, Paul Walker. And then all these other characters. And, you know, we got Dom sitting reading a paper in the back, like, just catching up on the times, you know, like... I think this is one of my favorite scenes, and I know eventually in this podcast we'll get to like things we really liked, things we hated, and once we have a bunch of these movies under our belt, we'll rank the movies and all that. But like, this is a hilarious scene, just with all the cast of characters jumping in here.
Yeah,
yeah, you get to meet everybody, and you know, I don't know. I think the craziest thing to me watching this back is like, Brian is ordering a tuna sandwich on white bread with no crust every single day. You're putting 100% of the onus on the tuna. And as Vince says, nobody likes the tuna. The tuna here is crappy every day, Mia tells us. I'll get into my thoughts on Dom in this movie a little bit later, but this should have been a major red flag to him. What adult is ordering a sandwich with no crust? That was just like crazy to me. Just get some crust on there. Toast your bread. Throw some spinach on, Brian.
And we never see him. We never see him eat it, right? We never see him get it. You know, because the fight breaks out when Vince shows up. But you're like, isn't he trying to be like undercover, inconspicuous? Like, you're bringing more attention than you could ever imagine to yourself by that order, like you said. But that's maybe part of his plan, Jade. I'm very confused by the order.
Yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
he just likes it.
He's staking the place out, or he's trying to insinuate himself into the world. And maybe he just trusts the tuna because it's coming out of a can, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I watched this with Jackson, and he was like, what did he say? Crusts cut up? This is a child saying, to me, is this adult insane? Like, what are you talking about? He had never heard of getting the crusts cut off. My favorite part about this scene is that this guy, say he's not a cop, say he's not trying to infiltrate them, and he just enjoys a tuna sandwich. Maybe he likes flirting with Mia.
Yep.
And, you know, he's sitting there enjoying his lunch on his lunch break, and Vince comes up, picks a fight with him for seemingly no reason other than he's in the place and flirting with the girl he likes. It's not even his girlfriend. Then they get into a big fight outside. He tries to walk away. He tries to do it like, you know what? I'm out. See you tomorrow. He walks out. Vince chases him down, starts beating the shit out of him. Then the owner of the establishment, Dom, comes out, gets in Brian's face, like he's a paying customer, and then he bans him for life, and then he fires him from his job somehow. It's like,
calls it in.
Insane, man. It is insane that first scene is like, I mean, this is the first scene after the heist, and it's all swagger. It's all just fucking testosterone coming at you, and it's You have to like it, but it's also like, what is going on?
Like, how many people's asses has Vince beat up since people just are ordering tuna? Like, if you come in and order 2 days, Vince is like getting in your face. He's like, hey, man, I told you never order that tuna again. That's got to be dangerous for Dom Toretto. He's running a garage here. He's running a cafe as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why you're thinking tuna's the way to go here, but Vince is here to set the record straight. They've had to have lost multiple customers just from this
Well,
guy
there's no one else in the place.
Yeah, good point.
So
good point.
It's not doing well. But so is the garage attached to the market / cafe / whatever the hell this place is, or are they two separate places?
You never really can tell, but I think that is... I think implied.
It's one establishment. Like, he's spreading himself thin. Like, what are you, Dom? Like, what are you running here? You're just trying to do everything. But then again, maybe it's like it's his sister's that side of the building. Sure. You know, like you run the market and sells some tuna sandwiches, and he runs the garage part. I don't know. Very strange. Of the crew that shows up, because this is our first introduction to Dom's crew, which again is Vince, who picks the fight with Brian. Leon, who, what would you say Leon's like number one role is? Like, he's sort of like always on the lookout for the cops, I feel like. He's on comms, I guess. Jesse's like the brains. I mean, he's the true mechanic. And then Letty, who's like a badass. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite of this Dom squad, Trey? We'll start with you.
The Dom squad?
Yeah.
I guess... Oof, that's a tough call. I mean, Letty becomes legendary in the series, and like you're saying, she pulls off. I think she's the first one that goes underneath the semi. That's a pretty impressive move. And I think she also does it later on in the heist as well. Pretty cool signature move. I guess I'm going Letty. I think Jesse is the guy you kind of instantly start rooting for, and like you're just connected to him right away, and you're like, how did this nerd get caught up in this messy underworld with these guys racing cars? He's not tough enough to be out there. So obviously you're rooting for Jesse. Those two stick out to me. And then, I mean, Vince is just there to give you somebody to root against. He comes out strong, getting you to root against him.
Man, that's right. Jesse reminds me so much of, was the character's name Mouse in The Matrix?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Same. I'm like, I was like, is this the same actor? Because they're like the exact same character. Like the nerdy, sympathetic, a little fast talking a little bit.
Slightly off as well, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, a little, not all there for sure. But do you have a favorite of the Dom squad, JD?
Yeah, I'm a Letty guy for sure. Here, this is, I grabbed
but hold
these
on,
two.
Hold on, are you guys Letty guys because of where her character goes? Because I have to say, having only watched this one so far, because I'm going to watch these one at a time right before we podcast. I mean, she did some cool things, you're right, Trey, but like she has got like the craziest stank face all movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's not very likable. I'm not cheering for her. I don't know. So maybe, I guess maybe where she goes in the franchise, like Trey said, I'll change my tune as we move on.
You mentioned her face. This is her getting out of the car. Yeah.
Like this old movie, face. Though.
Yeah, exactly, right. And then, I mean, if I was her, I'd be sort of pissed at the director. I'm like, why didn't you tell me I looked like stunned or whatever? Like, she gets out of the car, and this is the look on her face. So people who are listening, go to YouTube and check it out. And then also, I noticed this. These were her shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Badass boots, I have to say, but also... If you're slamming clutches and you're like, I mean, I don't know much about like, you know, working the pedals. I do drive a standard and I would not wear these boots. Like they're basically platform shoes. And I feel like these would hold her back in the racing world. I don't know.
Okay.
I like the flames. I like the look of them, but I don't know. I don't think they're practical for her line of work. It's not really work. I guess it's work. She pulls off heists, so.
Yeah, pulls off heists. They're making some money off of this. They're not doing it just for fun.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Like first introduction to her, and even in this movie, I'm like, I'm not Team Letty yet, but I'm excited to see where it goes. But definitely with that reaction, that shot, like, I think she's trying to look just tough. I think, like, badass. But you're right. It's coming off a little like, huh? Like, confused a little bit more than anything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I do think she comes off as a badass, though, in this. She pulls off a couple of moves on the underneath. She wins her race at Race Wars. Yeah. I think she's the most successful racer the Dom Squad right now. But they also give, like Leon, like you're saying, Skeets, you don't even know what this guy does. All he does is, have a walkie-talkie. Right. At one point, he's wearing boot cuts and a basketball jersey. you're not getting much Leon here. No. Jesse gets at least to look at the first computer ever made at one point. Check the graphics on that, God. Buddy.
Any computer scene in this movie is unbelievable. You're watching a movie from 2001, but you're like, this is 1987 or something. it feels like it. It's crazy. Okay, well, we'll keep going here. They get into the fight. Get out of here, Brian. All right. Well, that night, Brian brings, and I'm getting a lot of help with this rundown here from Wikipedia, because I don't know this ship, but Brian brings a modified 95 Mitsubishi Eclipse, to an illegal street race. That's the green car, if I remember correctly, that he shows up in. Yeah. Now, he's hoping to find a lead on this heist crew. Dom arrives in his Mazda RX-7, and initiates a race between himself, Brian, and then two others. One of them, of course, Ja Rule. Wow.
Edwin.
This was amazing again for me to watch this, because I know Ludacris shows up. I know Tyrese shows up. I had no clue Ja Rule was in this movie. I was like, my goodness, this is amazing. Okay, so he's there. So Brian, forced to wager his car, puts his car, that beautiful green Mitsubishi Eclipse, on the line. And then Dom wins the race after, I guess, Brian just pushes his car way too far. I mean, this is the scene where the bottom falls out, right?
Yeah.
It turns into a Flintstone car. Yeah. And then the cops arrive before Brian can hand over his vehicle. And we'll obviously keep going here. But this is our first race scene, Trey. Does it hold up in watching it, some 20 years later?
Skeets, I was on the edge of my seat as they're rolling up to the line here. This scene is hard to beat in the entire franchise. I was on my feet again 20 years later watching the race. I think it is so perfect. I will quibble with one thing. Did Brian have to put his car up in this? Come on, man. This is an $80,000 car, as we learned. Couldn't the cops have just slid him $2,000 for the entry fee?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, an incredible race. You have Ja Rule realizing he's going to lose out on his chance at a menage about three quarters of the way through the race. No! Monica! I just think it's so good. I like it from the beginning. Brian offers his pink slip and he says to Dom, if I win, I take the cash and the respect. Dom literally just laughs in his face. Respect? Come on, buddy. And then Brian, who do you think you are? Overshoots the start to begin. Should have been a red flag for Dom.
Yep.
Then he's actually a pretty bad driver, I do think, in this first race. He double nosses like a complete amateur. The guy's trying to do calculations on his computer as he's driving.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. I wish so much he got his email while he was racing.
That was awesome. Checking his spreadsheets as he's driving. He finally, Vin casually blasts through.
Yeah.
Vin. This is the hardest part for me. Vin and Dom.
Yeah.
They become one and the same.
Totally.
Dom casually blasts through with his Nas, easily wins this. And then, maybe my favorite movie monologue of all time, Brian steps out of the car laughing. What are you laughing at? I had you, man. I almost had you. At me? Never at me. Never had your car. Granny shifting, not double clutching like you should. What are you talking about, Don? Straight up car disses, but the crowd goes crazy. Almost had me. And then he gets so serious. Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
Wow. That'll actually come back into play later in the movie. Racing to the train tracks.
It's a little late for me in life, Skeets, to become an actor. But if I were to become an actor, the piece I would audition with is Vin Diesel's.
Oh.
You had me? Never had me. Never had my car. Oh, I think it is so good. He's got the humor, he's got the soul, and then he twists it. That gravitas. I love it. Vin kills that scene. Great scene.
Your Vin impersonation, your Dom impersonation, very Rocky-like, I'm noticing.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, there's some similarities between guys, I think.
Sure.
JD, what did you think of the entire race? Like, we get some crazy effects on the race, too. Like, I don't even know how you would describe it.
They kind of go into sort of a warp speed motif, you know? And it's... I liked it. I didn't mind the sort of leaving reality into this hyped up Tron-like way of showing speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And showing, it was more showing us how it felt to be in the race as opposed to being in the race. Do you know what I mean? Like the actual X's and O's of what was happening. I didn't mind it at all. The special effects, the sound effects were amazing. The clutch and the gear shift are so crank, like ka-gong, ka-gong. It's louder than anything in the whole fucking movie. But I loved it. It does get your adrenaline going, and you're like, okay, this is pretty cool.
It was cool. I will say, and I saw this after, you know, doing a little research. That first street race scene is supposedly a quarter mile race. Okay,
yeah. 10 seconds.
It should take 10 seconds. That race takes almost 2 minutes of screen time, and the vehicles are shown going over 150 miles per hour. So how long were these guys and girls racing? It's crazy how long this thing goes.
Case, you ever been in a race? Time stands still.
Yeah,
man.
I guess so. The post-race scene, it, you're right. That might be Dom or Vin's, like... best scene from this first one. He does it all. He shows his entire range in that scene. It's amazing.
We're eating out of the palms of his hands, both extended to the crowd, talking about double clutching and granny shifting. I gotta start using that as like a comeback when somebody, you know, I usually am trash talking ahead and then blowing it. If I ever come from behind from a victory, you almost had me. You almost had me.
Well, I said, you know, what does Leon sort of do, part of Dom Squad? This is the one thing he does. He's on the radios, he's got the scanner, and oh boy, cops are coming. Like, this is basically immediately after Dom's little speech there to Bryant. So, boom, we're off. Everybody's peeling out. which is amazing that the cops don't know this is going on until, for whatever reason. Like, I guess they at some point they say something is happening, right? Like in the city that every cop needs to be at.
Yeah.
So we got time to do this, what should be a 10-second race that takes much, much longer. Anyway, they all flee. And this is where Brian helps Dom escape. It's a little confusing, if I'm being honest. Dom parks his car, right? He gets out of his car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then is going to flee on foot. And that's where then Brian still, you know, helps him, finds him. But then they accidentally venture into the territory of Dom's old racing rival, Johnny Tran, and his cousin Lance. My favorite character of the first movie. Love Lance. Who... they're pissed with them. They're pissed, of course, with Dom. And they end up destroying Brian's beautiful green car. They basically blow it up. Mm-hmm. And then we get Dom reminding Brian that he still owes him a 10-second car. This is important. Comes back into play later. But this is our introduction, really, to Johnny and Lance and the beef, I guess, that they have. And I don't think we ever really truly learn in this movie, like, why they're so at odds. Just from the street racing scene, battles, from cars and money lost and won, I guess. Is that it?
Yeah, and Dom, doesn't he say something like, we had a business deal that went south, and I made the mistake of sleeping with his sister.
Oh, yes, okay, yes, that'll always do it. Yeah, yeah.
That'll do it. But I agree, the motivations aren't so much there, or at least they're not explained. You know, Johnny and Lance are kind of just there to give... Brian and Dom somebody to fight against, somebody to unite against, it feels like.
Yeah, and of course they're introduced, so Brian thinks that they are the ones that did this initial heist that he's trying to, like, crack the case on.
Sure.
And it's like, oh my god, do we just lean into the stereotypes of these guys, yeah, too? Like, where they eat, how they look and talk, holy moly. This movie really does date itself when it comes to computers or stereotypes, yep, or what's considered hot, both men and women, like the fashion, the music, and on and on and on. But yeah, anything to add to this scene where the car is blown up from Johnny? I do like that they leave. Don't they leave and come back?
Yeah. They're like, say something, hey, like, I got something. Here. I got something for you.
Yeah.
They drive away. All right, fine. Like, yeah. I guess we'll see what you got for us later, but they just come back and just shoot
up light
the car.
Up the car.
I guess that was what we were waiting for. I don't know. That just seemed like, I don't know. Johnny Tran makes some weird moves in this. Like, he just has very weird decisions made, all things considered.
Yeah, but my favorite part about that whole thing was they have the confrontation with Johnny Tran. They drive away. Brian says, what was that all about? Dom, long story. I'll tell you later. But they're getting into a car, right? They're about to get into a car to drive somewhere. So I couldn't possibly tell you on a car ride. Trans guys come back, blow up the car. Cut to them walking away. Brian, so what the hell was that all about? Dom, long story. We got a 20-minute hike, man.
We're taking
humor
a
me.
Fucking bus at this point, man. Like,
and then Dom says, a business deal that went sour, plus I made the mistake of sleeping with his sister. That's the end of the story, actually. It wasn't that long of a story. Yeah. Yeah, he could have told him that before he even got in the car, let alone, like, it's just that stuff, like, that throwaway stupid dialogue like that drives me crazy. It always takes me out of movies, but but that was my big takeaway from that scene.
Just tell him the story, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also, is the computer in the car, in this green car that blows up? Like, you know, at the time, it's got to be an expensive... I don't think he's backed up his photos and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I don't know how locked in on the interwebs Brian is back in 2001, but something tells me he hasn't backed it up in a while, Trey. Like, he's lost everything. Passwords, photos, yeah.
No, he doesn't care at all. He is willing to just spend the government's money anyway he sees fit. He's throwing an $80,000 car in a $2,000 race. There's no way he's going back for a laptop.
That's true.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, well, to, I guess, sort of make it up to Dom, because he's really trying to work his way in there, he brings the next day a damaged 94 Toyota to Dom's garage as a replacement. He pulls up with this hunk of junk, you know, and says, like, here you go, here's a car. And they're all laughing, look at this piece of crap. But he's like, no, check out the motor. This is when I literally have no clue what's going on. I'm like, you know, Jesse's telling us it's a great motor. He's like, God, this guy knows cars, man. Look at, like, you know, never judge a book by its cover. It's got a great motor under the hood. We can do something with this. And then the crew begins restoring the vehicle. Brian starts dating Mia. I mean, we are moving here. I'll tell you, this movie, I thought, I was like, this is going to be a bit of a slog at points. Like, there's going to be some downtime in these movies. I don't know. I don't know why I thought that. Which is, it's called Fast and Furious. It shouldn't be, right? And it wasn't. It's got a pretty good pace, but we get sort of a montage, I think it's fair to call it here a little bit, in terms of building the car, and then him dating Mia, and then there's a party scene in here somewhere as well, JD. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm missing anything, but we're moving quick here, the relationship building between Brian, Mia, and then Brian, Dom, and the crew, really. He's sort of like, he's almost a part of them already.
He gets in there quick. I mean, shout out to Brian as an infiltrator, because... I mean, it was a cockamamie scheme for him to get in there, but it worked. It worked.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit of luck be just happening upon Dom, you know, picking him up. And, you know, back at that party scene when Vince gets pissed off at Dom, he's like, what'd you bring the Buster for? Was that a thing that people said? The Buster?
Buster cut me out of handcuffs.
That's right.
I think, I don't know. I mean... There's definitely like Destiny's Child era songs that have Buster in it, and this would be the same era, but I think Fast and Furious went overboard with the Busters. Like, when we look back, that's going to be what people remember Buster being from, because it doesn't really show up many other places.
Right.
Yeah, well, you're right. He's in. I mean, he's in this crew. I mean, Vince hates him. He's always got to try and work over Vince and get Vince's trust, but for the most part, like... I'm just always like, I'm sort of amazed how quickly Dom's okay with him dating Mia. Like, Dom is best buddies with Brian.
Instantly.
Almost suddenly. Yeah.
Instantly. And we get the intel from Mia, I think on their date, that he has known Vince, he says, since the third grade. I mean, what? Dom's supposed to be maybe like 30 in this. They've known each other for 20 years.
Yeah.
And this guy comes in, orders tuna sandwiches 8 straight days, wants to date his sister. And Dom is like, all right, you're in on my criminal enterprise right here. Vince, see you later. I think he was just ready to be gone of Vince is what it feels like to me. He's just happy to have somebody who can take the job of Vince, who is just a brute of a man. Leon bringing nothing to the table. And Jesse seems to be a little bit too neurotic. Maybe he's thinking, I've got one guy who can handle 3 other guys' jobs. But yeah, for Dom supposedly being, you know, the head of a criminal ring here, a little too trusting, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but if Paul Walker walks into your life with those gorgeous eyes...
Oh, God.
Dreamboat. I'm making him my best friend pretty quick, too.
Fair enough.
You know, see you, no dunks, guys. I'm with my friend Brian over here.
You brought up what you thought his age was, TK. I saw after watching the movie, I was reading about it, of course. I think Dom is supposed to be 24 years old in this movie.
What?
24.
Okay.
And Vin's in his 30s when he's filming it, like way back then. I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true, but he definitely doesn't come off 24 in this movie. Anyway, they're building up this car. A lot of great computer scenes, too. I feel like it's like technology, you know, through the roof. Jesse's doing his thing. And where do we go from here? Well, we go into Brian, because he's now convinced that Tran is guilty. Johnny Tran is guilty of the heist. So he starts really investigating him, because he's convinced that they are behind these truck hijackings. So he is investigating one garage at night, and Brian is discovered by Dom and Vince. They're following him? Like, they don't trust him 100%, I guess.
I got that it was Vince following him, and then Vince
Vince, yes.
Is it Vince following Brian?
Vince, Dom, yes, sorry, you're right. Yeah.
Vince was following Brian, and then he knocks him out, and then he drags him to Dom.
You're right.
But how far did he drag him? Like, was it across town, or was it around the corner of the building? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, right. That part is a little unclear. But Brian convinces them that he's researching his opponent's vehicles for the upcoming race wars in the desert. Because I had forgotten at some point, Dom just says, you're racing in race wars.
Yep.
Right. To Brian.
I think that's right. Like, he's like, he makes him be his mechanic to fix Brian's own future 10-second car. And Mia tells him, he owns you now.
Yeah. You're his, man. And so that means you got to go race in the desert.
You gotta
my
race
God.
In the desert.
I hope you don't get nosebleeds easily because it is dry where you're going. You ever been to Burning Man? It's basically fucking Burning Man with cars. You better drink lots of water because you are his. Anyway, there, so he convinces them that he's doing this, doing a little recon, and then he discovers, Brian does, large quantity of electronic goods at Johnny Tran. So we're led to believe, like, aha, got him. It was them. I mean, it's just, like, too perfect. All this electronic goods was on this truck, and then, lo and behold, Johnny's got some, and...
keeps them in his garage.
Yeah, hold on. They were, it turns out, legally purchased.
That's right.
But they are in a garage. And don't forget the criminal behavior that Johnny Tran's people, they shot up their car with Uzis, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's fair.
You don't think Brian's jumping to conclusions here?
It turns out that he was, but I think that there was enough to go on to at least suspect the Tran gang, right?
Sure. That's right. Well, his report leads to Tran and Lance being arrested. But like you said, JD, we get the scene where the dad's pissed. Brought a lot of shame to the family. Straight slap to Johnny. But the electronics were purchased legally, and Brian is forced to then confront his suspicion that Dom is the true mastermind here. Like, did he always think that? Was he just looking? Was he just hoping he saw some electronic goods somewhere else that he could, take
them? That's the only dead giveaway is finding those electronics.
Here's the reveal that they're
legal. The question, I was just like... why does he have so many electronics in his garage?
Why
is he keeping them there? And what, like you're saying, there's reasons to suspect Johnny Tran, at least. You know, we've seen him do criminal things with the guns and blowing up the 10-second car. But he's also, like, he oils up that guy, Ted. Just pumping him full of oil. But the whole reason he's doing it is for an engine. So it's like, it feels to me Johnny Tran is living the straight life out there. Obviously balling with his family at his house. It looks like they have a very nice house. Yep. He's got tons of electronics, but he's just very, he's into the underworld when it comes specifically to racing. Like, he'll blow up your car. He will pump your face full of oil if it'll get into a better engine. But everything else is fine.
Okay.
He only wants the smoke when it comes to cars.
Next level thinking. Brian so desperately doesn't want it to be Dom, his new best friend, who he admires and loves, especially his sister and all that, that Brian plants the electronic goods in Johnny Tran's garage.
Wow.
Then takes that info back to the actual cops and to the FBI and says, this is your guy. This is a deleted scene that they had to take out.
I mean... it's wild. I don't mind it. But here's another thing, though. During that torture scene, which I didn't understand at all, to be honest. Like, why are there no engines in those cars? And why is it that guy's fault? Why is it Ted's fault? And, you know, so they torture him. He says, I've got engines in my warehouse or the engine. Did he take the engines out? I have no idea. But there was a throwaway little line that said, hey, you're our fence. Johnny Tran calls that guy their fence. Mm. You're our fence, which is the person who gets rid of stolen goods, right? So that's another piece of evidence against the Tran gang. I'm just saying. I mean, it's the most elaborate, ridiculous red herring in the history of movies, maybe. I mean, it's clearly the Tran gang until it's just not, right?
Yeah.
Until it's just not.
Yeah, that's fair. I sort of love hate this scene where Brian is talking to his cops, like his superiors in this beautiful mansion they're hanging out in. Nice pool, got a goddamn bridge over this pool.
Yeah,
why are they there?
I think maybe Brian says something like, oh, it's a lot better than the last place you repossessed or something that. Like, I think the implication is that they got this, you know, from busting other drug dealers in the past. I'm really surprised that they called in the FBI for $6 million worth of DVD players being hijacked over the course of 3 months. I don't know if that's necessarily the best use of resources, But I did love the line from Sergeant Tanner when he's warning Brian about Dom. He's got nitrous oxide in his blood and a gas tank for a brain.
Burn.
Got him. Oh, my God. Well, yeah, Brian's given 36 hours to find this heist crew because, and this is the other part, this is a weird part of this story to me. The cops are basically, they're telling Brian, of course, who is a cop, but he's like, hey, man, these faceless truckers, we never see the truckers' faces, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. These faceless truckers are now arming themselves to defend against the hijackings. Okay, good. Done. You killed them. Yeah. I mean, if I was the cops, I'd be like, awesome. Good call, guys. Take them out. But everyone's concerned about that. So anyway, that's why he's got now 36 hours
the
to, crack,
truckers.
To crack this case. Yeah, we never see the truckers' faces.
Yeah. It's odd.
Well, it's just a strange decision. All right, the following day, Dom and Brian attend Race Wars. Oh, yeah, we had this on the calendar. I mean, a lot going on, but we got to go to Race Wars, which, again, like I said, is basically Burning Man with cars. There, Jesse wagers his father's MK3 Volkswagen Jetta against Johnny Tran in his Honda S2000. Jesse just straight up loses. I mean, it's just like, there's no excuse. He got his ass handed to him in this race. And he decides, instead of giving up his car, his dad's car, he just drives off. Takes a left and he's gone. Everybody's like, where's he going? He's like, he's just gone. We'll get him back because Tran demands Dom recover the vehicle. And there's a lot more going on here at Race Wars. But yeah, Jay, JD, what'd you think of the desert scene here?
Yeah, I mean, it was fine, I guess. Very well put together illegal festival. Is it illegal, Race Wars, by the way? Because they've got security.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
This is above board, yeah.
Okay. So I liked, you know, Jesse, come on, man. You know, I guess he, trade, correct me if I'm wrong, he just hit his nitrous too soon, right? Like yeah, even Johnny says, too soon, man. Too soon.
Yeah, honestly.
Too soon in a 10-second race. Like, what are we talking is too soon here? Like,
you want to use it those last 3 seconds, man. You gotta go across the line on your NOS. Cross with NOS is what they say down at Race Wars. But this is another one for me that it's 100% on Dom. Why is he letting Jesse race against Johnny Tran?
Yeah,
I think that's a major mistake by Dom there, and it really puts some people in danger as we go on.
But did he know, though? Like, did Dom even know that it was happening?
Brian is the one that's like, you see Jesse coming out of the trailer with the pink slip, and he's like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Like, Brian is the voice of reason, like, you're going to lose, man, you're going to lose. I can't remember if that information ever gets relayed to Dom or not. There's maybe a little broken telephone there. He tells Vince, and Vince tells Leon. Leon tells Letty. I'm not sure. I don't know if I can't remember if Dom, prior to the actual race, knows that Jesse has the car on the line. I can't remember. Trey, I don't know if you do either.
I don't know if it's explicitly communicated, but if you're gonna call these guys your family, you got to know what they're up to.
Yeah,
you got to protect them out there.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Well, he's off. Like I said. Jesse's gone. He drives off into the sunset. We don't know when we'll see him again. That night, this is the night that Brian realizes Dom is behind the hijacking. Yes. Okay. He is with Mia, and he eventually reveals his true identity to her. Just boom, just says it. Because he needs help in finding the crew and what they're going to be doing here, this hijacking. Time got really weird here for me. Is this hijacking happening like in the crack of dawn? Because we see them. Do we not see them at night getting uncovering their vehicles and stuff like that? Yeah, that's the middle of the night.
Early morning. I would say they got the cars around 4:30 a.m.
Oh, it's super late. Nobody's tired after Race Wars.
It's like you said, it's like Burning Man. They're up all night. They race all day, party all night.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then, with the help of Mia, or at least telling her who he is, that he's an undercover cop, they gotta find the crew. So, Dom, Letty, Vince, Leon, they're attacking the semi-trailer truck. This faceless armed driver shoots Vince. Because they're like, well, it's worked before. Let's just try the old, harpoon trick again. Mm-hmm. Super easy to pull off. Let's do it again. And while he's doing that, Vince sort of like getting onto the truck. He gets shot. And is he's like held up. It's like he's like tied up in that harpoon wire. Yeah, he's like hanging on for dear life. Letty gets run off the road. Brian shows up. I'm flying through here. We'll go through it a little bit piece by piece. But Brian arrives with Mia. He ends up rescuing them all. And then he's forced to reveal his true identity to call in an emergency chopper to help save Vince's life. The guy he hates. Can you believe it? And then Dom, Mia, and all the others, they bounce before the authorities arrive. Again, that was a very, very quick recap there of this. I guess it's the biggest action scene of the movie. It's bigger than the opening heist because, you got some crazy things going off, cars flying off the road, and then Brian showing up to save the day. But, Trey, break this one down.
Well, I got to say it. This one's on Dom again. Hey, literally everybody's like, I don't know about this one, Dom. I don't know if we should go through with this. But he had a dream about him and Letty on a beach in Mexico, which convinces everybody. Here's why they thought it was a bad idea. It was broad daylight when they were doing this hijacking. Every other one has been under the cover of darkness. They're trying to do it a little bit covert here. Meanwhile, we know that the truckers are arming themselves.
Yes.
Very scary. I imagine that's probably, they're overhearing on the police chatter as well. You know that things are getting more tense because they need to pull off these bigger and bigger moves so that they can go to their beach in Mexico. But Dom just pushes through, and wants to do it during the daytime. Then, he's not even the hero of this drive. That was something that actually surprised me re-watching this, is that Brian is the first guy to pull a jump from a car to something else that's moving.
Yep.
A move that becomes a Dom specialty as the series goes on. But Mia is the clutch driver here.
Yeah, she's the steady hand.
She's the steady hand. Brian is the clutch stuntman here.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dom.
Yeah.
Where's Dom? He got his wheel blown out by a trucker with a shotgun. The truckers are weird too. A, just stop. B, you're shooting your own truck like 100,000 times from close range. I don't know. These truckers are foolish. But also, Dom's putting everybody in harm's way here just to be best buddies with Brian. And, seems like he's a little bit lost in the sauce. Everybody shows up, performs well in this. Gotta say it, not Dom. Another tough one for my guy Dom.
Yeah.
And just to add on to the poor leadership by Dom, he had gotten his tires blown out, right?
Yep.
Like his both front tires, it appeared, blown out. He's still going full speed next to the truck. Letty crashes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he gets on the horn. Leon, in your perfectly sound vehicle, go back and get Letty. I'm gonna continue to hobble along here trying to rescue Vince. Horrible decision. Take over, man. Take over here. You get Vince, I'll get Letty because my car is broken, man. Awful look on Dom.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird decisions being made, even back to the drivers of the trucks. A shotgun, I mean, I get that it's powerful, but you've got like two shots, and then you've got they cut to a scene where the guy's like fumbling with more bullets to put into his shotgun. Like, if he had any other gun, even Brian's little tiny gun would be better. At least could get some more consistent shots off. Anyway, this is where we get like, it's like the Point Break sort of version, right, JD, where it's like, hey, man, I'm the cop. Yeah. I'm undercover, and I know we're best buds, but I got to do this. I'm sorry, but I got to save Vince's life, too. Family is everything. You've known him for a long time, even though I don't think you like him all that much. we got to save his arm. But, yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is Dom's reaction to the reveal, right? Like, is there a more over the top reaction in the history of film? I don't think so. And like the whatever that music or the sound effect they had, it was like a freight train going by. Just the look on his face and just the multiple angles and just the sweeping cameras of, oh my God, the betrayal. I mean, it was kind of beautiful, really.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, like, try and put yourself in Dom's shoes or in anyone's shoes where you found out someone that you've befriended, that you trust, that is dating your actual someone of your part of your family, is undercover, is on the wrong side, in your opinion, mm-hmm. or in your world. Yeah, would you react like crazy? Or would you, like, I don't know, be more in your head, right? Like, right. You'd start going through all the times. You're like, what have I told you? And what do you mm-hmm. know? And like, oh my God. I don't know. I think I would react that way, but I guess everybody reacts differently, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be like you would, Skeets. I would just be kicking myself that my best friend I've known since third grade literally told me, this guy is a cop.
I'm
telling you 100% this guy is a cop. I don't trust you. Best friends with this guy. Oh, shit.
Yep.
He's a cop.
Yep.
I blew it because I should have trusted the guy that I've trusted for 20 years. Me, the guy who loves family, turns his back on family to get some new family. I don't know, Dom. I don't know.
Yeah, not a good look for a guy Dom here. Well, like I said, they're off. We're taking care of Vince. Chopper's there, and everybody else flees. Later, Brian arrives at Dom's house to apprehend him, right? Or like, he's like going to get him. Like, you're going to jail, buddy. I know we're best friends now, but as he gets there, Dom is getting in his father's 1970 Dodge Charger. Yeah, that's right. The one we've seen before in the garage.
The one that he was afraid to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Now, he demands Brian leave, and he says, I'm not running. You see, I gotta go rescue Jesse. Mm-hmm. I already nearly lost one of my buddies today in Vince. I'm not losing Jesse. He doesn't say that. It sounded like a quote that he actually said, but I think I just did a really good line there. That would have been a good line for him to say. Instead, oh, great timing. Jesse arrives at the house and pleads for protection. But bad timing, Jesse-wise, Tran and Lance ride by on motorbikes and then kill Jesse. And then we're off and running. Brian and Dom suddenly, we're now working together. We're in separate vehicles, but we got to find and then get these guys. And they end up killing Tran and injuring Lance. A whole lot goes on here in like a minute of screen time, it feels like, in terms of Brian showing up at Dom's house to arrest him, and then the whole Jesse showing up, and then, oh my goodness, Johnny Tran and Lance are back in the mix, JD. A very, very fast move in here, man. This is the fast in Fast and the Furious.
100%. The Tran gang, again, with conspicuous criminal behavior happening, you know. Also, all you wanted was the car. The car is sitting right there. Why not only shoot the guy, but also shoot the car and destroy the car that you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Like, did not make a lot of sense to me. But I did enjoy the motorcycle chase afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it was that part of it was good. But yeah, I didn't understand. Well, I understood that Jesse had to die for whatever reason, like just to motivate, you know, the everything falling apart for Dom. But it was awkward. That's how I would describe it. I just don't understand why they did it that way. Seemed like they were trying to tie up multiple loose ends in a matter of 15 seconds.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Trey, you agree with that? Is that fair?
Yeah. It just seemed like a major overreaction from Johnny Chan or from Johnny Tran, if you ask me. Like you're saying, you're there for the car. And now, you know, you just had the cops raid your home and you got off free, despite the fact that maybe you're involved in some sort of criminal thing, and now you just murdered somebody. So, I don't know. That seemed to me like you got what you were after. You got the car in 24 hours, within 24 hours, basically, right? Because, like, they have race wars, Jesse splits, they have the heist at night / morning, and then like, right afterwards, I mean, you're getting the car pretty quickly. I feel like this worked out exactly how you were hoping, but really just escalated things.
Yeah, and like, Dom is preoccupied with other things right now. He's not even going to be able to, like, really, like, get any sort of revenge. He's probably going to jail here.
Yeah.
Also, like, I guess they're on motorbikes, and maybe their vision's not great in their helmets, but do they not see Brian there, too? Like, do they not know? They know he's a cop. I guess he did have a mask on.
He was really masked up.
Oh, they didn't know he was a cop.
They didn't know. I guess they still didn't know. Okay. Okay, fair enough. So, shoot away, boys. Get your car.
Shoot away, boys.
Dom also doesn't care that much about Jesse. his buddies start dropping like flies. He doesn't care all that much. He's like, I think he checks his pulse. He's dead. Let's go. It's like, God, get him to the hospital.
No helping this guy.
I guess Letty's there. Maybe he trusts her to take care of him. Anyway, he's dead. First death.
It's unclear to me. Does Vince die?
Well,
no.
He doesn't.
Okay.
He does not.
We definitely don't learn that he's dead. Yeah. All right. And maybe spoiler moving ahead, but he's not dead. So yeah, this is our first death. Fair to say, Jesse is the first on-screen death in Fast and the Furious. And then I guess Johnny Tran is a close second.
Yeah, right after.
Does Brian shoot him? Deaths.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Nora, watching this with my wife, she was like, wow, he just shot him, eh? He's a cop. I'm like, yeah, it's a good... I guess he just watched him shoot somebody else, though.
True.
I mean, I think you can take him down. You know he's armed.
Yeah.
But I was like, you're sort of right. That's a little strange. Anyway, Brian then pursues Dom after Tran and Lance are out of the equation. Brian then pursues Dom, and they basically they're racing and then just decide to have a good old quarter mile drag race. And
as you do,
they are racing and racing, and then here comes a train. They're racing basically to the railroad track, and are they gonna make it? Are they not? Is one of them gonna make it? Is the other gonna die? All this stuff. They both barely cross the railroad track before the train passes, which, if they are racing, I guess we're led to believe is a draw. Though some say, if you go back and watch, it looks like Brian Paul Walker just edges him out. And Dom has said it doesn't matter if it's inches.
Right.
Winning's
winning.
Back. Winning is winning. And it does look like his car is a little bit ahead. But anyway, oh shit. Dom crashes his car into another truck. And instead of arresting him, Brian, after pulling him out, gives his keys to Dom, asserting that he still owes him a 10-second car. Ha! Callback! So there it is. So Dom leaves in the... what's he driving? The orange like Supra or neon. Maybe it's not orange. Neon.
It's orange-ish.
Neon orange-ish? Okay.
Yeah.
And so Dom takes off in that, and Brian walks away. And then I'll just say this now. There's a post-credit scene where Dom is seen driving, I think, through Mexico.
Yeah. It said Baja, right? So the Baja Peninsula. It could be California.
It could be California.
I think it implies Mexico.
Yes. Okay. Just I don't know why that's there. Maybe it's setting up for something in the future. Anyway, let's wrap up this sort of final scene here. Trey, we'll start with you. The race that they decide to have, the train getting involved, and then Brian ultimately, you know, like saving his ass and saying, "Hey, I owed you. Just get out of here, buddy." I'll just tell him, you know, you stole it from me. I guess is what he's going to tell him.
Yeah. What is he going to tell him?
Yeah.
We raced through a train and he. He got torn up by a semi truck, so I gave him my car, and now he's gone. Yeah, it's Brian's got a lot of explaining to do after this.
Yeah,
I love the stare at each other as they're driving with their NOS going. That's a Fast and Furious trademark right there. The stare down as you're driving, not paying attention to the car. Great stuff. But Dom should have paid attention, because boom,
gets
blown up by that semi, and another. Hilarious reaction from Dom. The guy just breathing. Extreme breathing.
Yeah.
That's not what I had in mind. Then he's fine. Just a few breaths and he's good to go.
His car flips like 30 feet in the air. It's like, how did this guy survive? He's not even really that banged up all that much. Like,
out of breath, basically.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God, I'm winded.
Oh, that was scary.
Holy crap. Did you see how many times I spun in the air? I'm short on breath. Hold on, let me catch myself. JD, ending of this movie, I don't think it's a strong part of it, this entire flick. The whole race scene, I think, is actually one of the dumbest parts. But
yeah, I mean, how you get there is what it is, I guess, right? Like, it's just they wanted to have this final showdown between the two of them, this 10-second race. Throw a train in there, why not, right? Because My palms were sweaty as they're racing towards it. The visuals of it were actually incredible, especially considering the budget of this movie. And, you know, so fine, great. Like, I do love that it ended in a stupid accident. Like, just a stupid, not paying attention, a split second, and, oh my God, I've been hit by a truck. And there's finally been consequences to all of this reckless behavior, right?
Right.
He didn't die or anything, but and in fact, he got away. But yeah, I thought as far as like an adrenaline rush, a climax of a movie visually, it was spectacular. Just don't think about it. Don't think about why they're doing it, what they're doing, what the point of it is. Like, was it that Dom was just trying to get away? But I didn't get that. Really, I didn't get that. Like, I'm going to drive my car now. I'm going that way. You can chase me if you want. That's sort of like where they it was a race, right? It's like we're racing now.
Like, they didn't say anything to each other. Like, it would even make more sense if, like, Dom's like, look, if you beat me here in this race, cuff me.
Yeah.
Take me in. Maybe it was implied just by the looks they were giving each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, hey, one more race for old time's sake and you beat me, I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you know, I'm free or something. Oh,
that's actually, that brings up a good point because Dom said earlier in the movie, I'm not going back to jail.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not
going
back.
That's true. So he's not going even if he loses this race.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's a good point.
I mean, and this is exactly what happens in Point Break, right?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, I'm not going to jail. Just let me get this one last wave. And then, of course, and then he dies in the wave.
Yeah.
And maybe that was Dom's intention. I mean, it's exactly the same ending as Point Break. Because the only difference is that we actually see Keanu Reeves throw his badge on the beach, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was implied to me that Brian is just leaving the force and he's going to join the ranks of the street racers in life. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the next two movies, so.
Oh, good. Well, I haven't either, so I can't wait to see what Brian does. I can't wait to see if we even see Dom. Is there a Mexico scene in Fast and the Furious? Mm. Or what is it? Too Fast and Too Furious.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So that's how the movie ends. It's there. We basically went through the whole thing. Now we're going to go through our favorite sort of scenes or favorite cars or favorite quotes, whatever you want. We're calling it the Fast. We'll get to the Furious part. That's the things we hate. But the Fast, Trey, of all those three things I just said, is there a favorite scene, car, quote, song even? A lot of great songs in this. What would you pick here from this first movie in the franchise?
For me, the first 30 minutes or so are perfect. From the first scene where we're rooting for the Outlaws to pull off their first semi-truck heist, we go to Toretto's Cafe. Lots of jokes there. Then we go straight into the street race. I've already said my piece on the street race.
Yep.
Straight up legendary. That, to me, is like those scenes, boom, 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 boom. That was perfect. And watching it back, I was like, this still holds up very well to me. I also really liked the bonding moment that Dom and Brian have. They're having heart-to-heart about Brian's intentions with Mia.
Yep.
And Dom tells him, you break her heart, I'll break your neck. Now let's go see my car. I love that. The two most important things to Dom right there, family and looking at that sweet-ass ride. He also gives another great monologue telling Brian about his dad and how his dad built this car way back in the day. He's never raced it. And explains to Brian how he ended up in jail. So we're getting a little bit of softening there, right? Like, Dom had to go to jail, but he did it because he saw the guy who spun his dad out, I guess, and caused the crash that ended up taking his dad's life. And that's where you get the classic line from Dom, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. For those 10 seconds or less, I'm free. The guy's racked with guilt out here, man. He's just racing to race the demons. I thought it was great. I think that's a great scene for Vin as well.
Hey, maybe that all makes sense. That quote, he maybe did think he was going back to jail at the end with Brian. And hey, one more race, one more 10 seconds of freedom.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the only time I'm free. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, this is deep. JD, scene, car, quote. What's your favorite part?
My favorite scene is the first race for sure. I've already gone into that. My favorite car is Dom's RX-7. I think I like a two seater, a little sexy, gets you from A to B very nicely, and I'm with a little bit of nitrous oxide, gets you there even quicker. And I think my favorite quote is that whole scene with the, hey, what was that all about? I'll tell you later. That whole thing, I just loved it. I loved it. So funny.
My favorite scene, and I don't think it's a scene we've actually touched about here or I didn't have in the recap, the call it barbecue picnic dinner scene. There's a lot going on in this scene.
Oh, yeah.
First off, we see somebody playing basketball. Yeah, there's a hoop attached to the side of a wall. It's like no backboard or anything. It's like I had that at my grandparents' farm, just a rim attached to the side of the barn. Like I was Larry Bird or something. But they had that too. And you see, I don't know who it is. I may have been Leon get a shot up. You see it in the background really quick. But anyway, that whole scene, you get Jesse saying grace, which is
very funny. Punishment for going for the first chicken.
Yep, that's right. Chicken. Yeah, you really get the Dom father figure, head of the table. Yeah. He's making sure everybody's in the right place and we're following the rules here. And then that's the scene where Vince returns too because he's hungry. It's like he's got to eat.
Yeah, he leaves right away, right? Yeah. He's pulled up. He sees Brian. I'm out of here. Man, don't worry about him. The guy loves chicken. He'll be back.
So he comes just like back. That. He gives a little kiss to Dom's head when he comes back. So damn sweet. So I love that entire scene. My favorite car, it's actually probably just one of the ones that Brian drives. I liked both his cars in this movie. That green one he's got early on, and then the whatever we're calling it, neon orange one, late, that he ends up giving to Dom. I like those ones. Favorite quote, I got two. I laughed so loud. Keep in mind, guys, I've never seen any of these movies, and within the first 5 minutes, a guy is yelling, what's up with this fool? What is he, sandwich crazy? Like, Vince is yelling this at Brian because of the whole tuna sandwich thing that we went over. What a line. What is he, sandwich crazy? It's amazing. And then Dom, as Trey has already taken us through a lot of great lines in this, but one you haven't brought up, I don't even remember what he says it in the movie, but he says, you want time? Buy the magazine. We don't have time. What a line! Time magazine!
Buy the magazine.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. It would have been great if he was reading a Time magazine in the market early in the movie, but he's reading a paper. That would have been actually very, very funny. Speaking of that, I just want to slip it in here. Favorite product placement in this movie? Okay? We don't see a Time magazine, but I'm going to give you four. You tell me your favorite, Trey. The tiny Panasonic TVs, which are really like the crux of this movie. Oh, my God. We got to stop these guys from stealing these little TVs.
17-inch TVs, I'm sure.
Pizza Hut dude who's just trying to deliver a pizza. By the way, it's the director. That's him.
Oh, really?
Rob Cohen. Cohen? Yeah.
Goddamn street racers.
Yeah, but we see it's Pizza Hut. I mean, it's slapped on top of his car, the little light there. The Corona, which I know becomes a thing, I guess, in this movie, which I think is so funny. And next time we do one of these, I will be drinking a Corona.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I feel bad I don't have one here. And then for my fourth one here, the Snapple.
Out of nowhere.
Where the fuck did that Snapple come from, JD? I rewound it like three times. I'm like, Snapple. Brian is drinking a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hold on, does he have the Snapple in his hand?
He offers her a drink, right? They go away.
Yeah.
They go away from the confrontation with Vince. They're in another room. He says to her something like, can I get you something to drink? And she said, I don't care. Anything that's cold. And he comes back with a Snapple.
Right. Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's how it's okay, yeah. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But that was hilarious. So, of those four, Panasonic TVs, Pizza Hut, Corona, or Snapple, Trey, what was your favorite product placement in this first movie, or is there one I'm even forgetting?
I mean, the Snapple is an underground favorite, I feel like, right now, for because I noticed it too. Like, when you see somebody drinking a Snapple, so it crazy. Just stands out. Like, now that you mentioned that Dom is supposed to be 24, is that supposed to, like, does that mean that Mia is under 21? Are they giving her a Snapple
because
she's not legally allowed to have a Corona? Very weird. But I do like the line, you can have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona. Right. Great line. I forgot that came in the first movie. I think it's great. It's that house party scene where Vince is there just wailing on a guitar.
Yeah.
Wailing on a guitar. Cool. I'm just going to play along. Just going to play along to the tunes here.
Oh, wow. You know what? That makes it even sadder that he may have lost his arm in the final scene.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
He'll never be able to pick the same way again. But just a great way of putting Vince in his place. Dom rounds up all the beers, gives them to Brian for his choice of which one of these already somebody drank from beers do you want to drink from?
Yeah.
He chooses Vince's.
Corona,
in your face.
Too. It's amazing. Yeah, JD, do you have a favorite of those four product placements?
Oh, it's definitely Corona. I've never wanted a Corona so badly in my life watching this movie. Man, I was like, damn, that looks good. It's going down good. Even Vince's, it was taken away from him. And I wouldn't even bother wiping it off the way Brian did. He wiped off the thing.
Saliva.
I love that. I want to keep wanting to call him Vin. It's Dom. Dom confiscates the Corona from Vince. Clearly, there's an unlimited supply of Corona in that house. So what? Like, why are you so mad, Vince? And like, if I'm Brian, I'm like, can I just get an actual Corona? Just one right out of the cooler.
Like, did somebody lose the bottle opener? Like,
we got these ones.
Apparently, that Corona line, I don't know if this is true because it doesn't seem like.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. I read this. Go ahead.
Henry Ford thing.
Yeah. So share it for Trey, because this makes no sense.
Yeah. So apparently Henry Ford once said to salespeople or whatever, talking about the Model T or whatever, you can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Okay.
Right. So I think it's an urban legend, or I don't know, because apparently the Model T was available in several colors. But anyways, so because it's a car movie,
know a lot about cars.
Because it's a car movie and it's and it's Dom saying. Is it an homage to that line?
That is such a stretch to me.
I know.
But yeah. It makes it funnier, actually, if it is.
Yeah, it's like a great Easter egg if they actually intended it, but I don't think they did. Just based on literally everything else that happens in the movie that wasn't all that well thought out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Something I don't know, though. In that very scene, Dom also says to somebody who's, I don't know, there's some people making out, and Dom says, take it upstairs. You can't detail a car with the cover on. Like I was just barfing really everywhere. Gross. The least sexy thing of all time. Yeah. But in that scene, it does feel like they're trying to, like, carify everything that could possibly come up. So maybe they are alluding to this Henry Ford quote.
Yeah, maybe.
It's possible. Okay, well, let's get to the furious part of the podcast here. Dumbest scene or things you just hated. JD, why don't you start here? What was your least favorite part of the movie?
Well, we've talked a lot about it, but it's that party scene. I hated that scene with a passion.
Okay.
With so much fury in my life. This is the furious of the Fast and Furious. It really represents everything that's wrong with this movie, which is basically the movie feels like it's been written by like a 13-year-old boy who has just hit puberty and is trying to imagine what life could be like, you know, down the road. So you go into this party, which, by the way, has the most annoying song playing for almost 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Almost four minutes.
Nora said that, too. She's like, this has been going the entire party scene. And it's just like this weird little, like, loop.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And then Vince is jamming along to it, and which was also made my hair stand on it. It was so corny. But the main problem with it is just this sort of, have you ever been to a party like that? I've been to some pretty wild parties in my life. none of them are like that. Like, no. It's just a teenage fantasy of what a party might be like if one day I get out there and meet some girls. And that's another main problem, and this is a problem with this movie, and I hope they improve on this, is just how they treat women. Like, literally props.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk in, and you got the two girls making out, man. And then you got one of your lead characters is just in this... Letty is on the floor playing video games. This is like ultimate fantasy for a 13-year-old boy to meet a girl like that. And at one point, Vince... just pushes one of the girls out of the way. She's just dancing by herself, you know, and he just literally just pushes her out of the way. Now, she does give him the finger out of focus behind him. But
I didn't see that.
But that shit just bothered me. And like you said, and the part where this is not intentional, but it also sums it up as well, where Dom
God almighty.
He's talking to Jesse there, Mouse, saying, take it upstairs. Literally take it upstairs. You can't detail a car without pulling the cover off or whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's this picture of this girl dancing here. It's just like so over the top and stupid. And it's like, adults made this movie. Yeah. Adults, you know. And
they're making it for a bunch of 15 and 16 years old.
Fair, I guess. But it didn't have to be that way. And it could have been so much more interesting. And so I had a big problem with that party scene.
Yeah, and even just like all the racing scenes too. Like, we have to get a glorified shot or two of some girl in basically wearing nothing, like every single time. Leaned up against a car, just getting out of a car. I mean, it's every single shot. It feels at times like a music video, basically.
Yeah.
From the early 2000s. Okay, Trey, your least favorite scene, the thing that made you most furious from this movie.
Race Wars, a major disappointment. I mean, tough name choice to start with.
Sure.
I mean, tough one. I don't know. Maybe want to rethink that one if we ever run it back here in this series. But also, the racing is super bogus in it. We got the first race, Letty versus some random guy for $2,000. She dusts him easily with a hit of NOS.
Yeah,
this guy showed up to Race Wars without NOS.
Yeah,
that's like showing up with a horse. Come on, man, get serious out there. Ridiculous. Second race, Jesse versus Johnny Tran for a pink slip. I don't understand why Johnny Tran is racing the fifth driver from Dom's squad. I don't see why Dom isn't protecting his family. Yeah. Surely he knows, he has to know, but at least Jesse has NOS. Doesn't work out for him, too soon, Junior. Then he's gone. But a major disappointment, because also throughout this race, we're like, Johnny Tran's like, I got something for you, Dom, at next month at Race Wars. You know, we've got Dom threatening Brian. You drive for me now. Yeah. You're going to be driving at Race Wars. We don't get to see Dom or Brian drive at this huge, massive thing.
It's a great point. Yeah,
we just got to see the number 5 go against the number 1. That was weird to me for such a thing that's going to be a big event. Yeah,
you're led to believe, like, for a good chunk of the movie, at a certain point, you're like, oh, this is going to be the ending of the movie is going to happen at Race Wars. Like, that's going to be the climax of this movie. But you're right. It's sort of just then thrown in there. And they have to literally throw it in there. Like, man, we got to crack this case, but we got to do this first. So let's just go do it. That's a good one. My least favorite scene, I think it is the ending, the dumb race to the train. I just the whole dream sequency vibes to it was like, okay, this is a little overboard. And I also didn't like the scene where I think it's Brian and Dom, they're testing out the new car they've built, and we get the classic like pull up to the guy in the Ferrari who's got his trophy wife or his girlfriend beside him, and like, you know, he's like, eh, why, this guy's paid this much money for his car, but we're gonna kick his ass here when it hits green. It's just the most cliche thing ever in a movie about cars, and they're like, we gotta slip it in there. I was like, all right. there was really no need for that. But overall, I actually sort of like this movie.
I think that scene is very funny too, because they win easily. They win so easily, they can just pull over to a shrimp shop and have a meal. But we see the Ferrari drive by. So this guy's just out driving in the desert with his significant other. just got beaten in a street race, and he's just like, all right, got to carry on with our day. I guess we'll go get groceries or whatever they're up to. Very weird. Very weird stuff.
All right. Our next segment here we're going to try out, it's called Mi Familia. And this is where we each show, each Fast Friends, we turn to someone in our actual families, probably will be our wives, either Laura, Rachel, or Nora. And either we take a question from them or an observation. And I thought I would get us started because Nora did watch this with me. Now, she had seen it before. And spoiler, I think Nora went to watch Fast and Furious. What number with you, Trey, in a movie theater?
I think
theater?
Seven.
Seven, yeah. So,
I gotta check the dates, but I think it's seven.
So she's seen a lot of these. I don't know if she's seen all of them. But anyway, she brought up this crazy, I guess, observation, I'll call it. You said it there, Trey. After that race against the Ferrari dude, we get Brian and Dom, and they end up at a place called Neptune's Net, which is a real restaurant. And Nora said, that's the place that Jack proposed to Brittany on Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, no way.
And it is.
Seriously?
It 100% is. They went to Neptune's Net, and that is where he, sprung the question on her and had the ring. And, you can check out, I think it's her Instagram account. And sure enough, it definitely, I think she's even, location tagged it, Neptune's Net.
Wow.
So that's the same place.
So that's a real place that I need to visit, is
yes.
what you're saying. Because, it's got Fast and Furious heritage and Vanderpump heritage. Incredible. That's
and it looks like an amazing location, too.
Yeah, it looks
like
cool.
Right on the water, right across on the other side of the, from, I don't know if it's a beach or a cliff or something like that. But, yeah, that's a little,
I like that.
Little wow. tidbit for you there.
And it just occurred to me that in Point Break, there's a shrimp place. Because they go for shrimp there, right?
Definitely somebody's eating shrimp at one.
Yeah. So then there's a shrimp. Keanu Reeves goes to pick up. He infiltrates the surfers by going through this girl who works at a shrimp restaurant. I was just wondering if it's the same place because it's right on the water as well. That'd be crazy. That would be crazy.
Next level, man.
It is. It is the same place.
No.
What? It looks Neptune's Net, at least according to Wikipedia. We're going to have to go 100% into this. It's all there, buddy. Losing It, Point Break, The Fast and the Furious,
wow,
The Hills,
there
Gossip
it is.
Girl, People Like Us, Iron Man 3, GTA 5.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
We got to go, guys.
Right.
We got to go.
Wow. Wow. Once we finish this series, Fast Friends, and we do all of our podcasts, we'll do a live show at Neptune's Net, and this becomes a big hit. Okay, let's we'll start wrapping this up here. Any other random observations like that one from Nora or notes that you wanted to slip in that we haven't addressed? TK, you got anything?
Yeah, Laura's takeaway from this was that Vince should have died and Jesse should have lived.
Mm.
I was like, I 100% agree with you. Vince is brutal, but you're meant to hate him. Right away, he drops a hard F in the first 10 minutes. He says some other misogynistic shit. Later on here, the guy brings a guitar to a party. He's wearing layered tank tops. He's right about Brian, but he seems to be wrong about literally everything else. Like we said, you're rooting for Jesse, but that's kind of exactly why it had to go down the way it did, right? You had to, Brian had to save Vince because if he'll save this piece of shit, clearly he must be family. And Jesse had to die because everybody liked Jesse. Gives Brian and Dom something else to bond about. But, in real life, you would much rather see Vince take one of those shots. Take one of those shots when he's stuck on the front of the semi.
fair
no,
point.
No offense, Vince. Actually, a lot of offense, Vince.
JD, any final notes here?
Yeah, but Jackson pointed out immediately when Brian is hanging on the end of on the truck, on the outside of the truck, you can clearly see the harness holding him onto the truck. Of course they're going to do it. They're going to, I'm glad that the safety first and all that. But it's just this kind of stuff when it happens in movies and it's pointed out, you can not unsee it. So the next time you watch it, that will be the only thing you'll be able to see. And it's just crazy that they made no attempt at all to hide it at all. But that said, I didn't notice it until Jackson pointed it out. So it's just when you're lost in the moment of something, you don't see the wires. You don't want to see the wires. So you just don't see the wires. So
I also think it looks enough like it could be the harpoon wire. that your mind just like goes, maybe it's so, like, it doesn't make any sense because I see Vince on the far right there, like that's where he's all caught up. But you know,
is that even Paul Walker?
I mean, it doesn't look like him.
That's got
to
be the stuntman.
Yeah.
It almost looks like Dylan McKay, like somehow more. Well, actually, speaking of that, I had a really random observation. Again, I've never seen these movies. I know. Unfortunately, of course, what happens to Paul Walker in real life. But in the movie, I'm watching this going, man, who does he remind me of? Like, who does his character, Brian, remind me of? Like, just his appearance. And there's definitely a Keanu Reeves vibe to him from Point Break. I mean, sort of like almost doing an impersonation. Mm-hmm. There is actually a little, like, oddly, like, Dylan McKay-like vibes from 90210. But I was like, where is it? Why am I, like... I just kept picturing a kid that I thought maybe had turned in to Paul Walker in this movie. And I finally hit me, like, halfway through. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Wizard, starring Fred Savage. And the enemy, the nemesis in that movie is a kid called Lucas who has the power glove. The power glove, it's bad. That is an iconic character from my youth. And JD, I don't know if you have the photos. We can put up one and then the other. I kept thinking Lucas from The Wizard maybe one day turned in to Paul Walker. And they're like, they're both just cool as shit too. And it just stuck with me the rest of the movie. I was like, wow, this would be amazing if Lucas, the power glove kid, turned into Brian, the officer in Fast and Furious.
He does have a little bit of a similar look.
Yeah.
Like the flowing curly blonde.
Yeah, and that like icy like stare, like you know. So I couldn't shake it. I'm inserting it into canon that Brian from Fast and the Furious actually was Lucas from The Wizard. Which timeline, don't worry, I mean, works out. It almost doesn't work out at all because I guess The Wizard was way back in the 80s.
Right.
Maybe it's an 87. You know, then we're talking another 14 years. Yeah, I think Lucas is a little too old looking. But anyway, I'm going to run with that. I couldn't shake it. So I don't know if I'm the first person to ever bring that up. I don't know if the internet's already thought that through. But I'm like, that's cool. Brian is Lucas. Like, you met, and that's why he knows about computers and his car and stuff like that. He's a little video game tech.
Yeah.
Anyway, the only other notes I had that I wanted to slip in is Vin Diesel in real life a lefty?
Who?
Because I think he throws a punch in this, and I'm pretty sure he throws a nice, mean left. And I was like, huh, is he a lefty? I'd have to check
that. Great question.
We'll have that answer.
Great question.
For the second episode. And otherwise, that's all I have. I guess I do have one question for you, Trey. What is up with the post-credit scene? Like, does it pay off immediately? Like, are we in Mexico for the second one? Like, what goes on here?
Well, that's the interesting thing, Skeets, because for the second movie, Welcome to Miami, Benvenido a Miami, we're going to Miami. But like you're saying, Vin is in Mexico. How's he going to make his way to Miami?
I guess
does
we'll
he?
Have to toot. No, he doesn't, buddy.
Dom is not in the second movie.
We've got no Dom in Fast and Furious 2. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Wow.
Apparently, Vin Diesel wasn't a fan of the script, and he was kind of on top of the world Vin Diesel-wise at this point, so he made the Chronicles of Riddick instead. Paul Walker puts the franchise on his back as Brian O'Connor. He's on the run. But he's got a new sidekick, a vital addition to the Fastiverse. His name is Roman Pierce. Skeets, if you're feeling like a true sicko, there's a short film that comes out between...
between one and two?
Movies one and two here. It's a 6-minute short. It's called The Turbocharged Prelude for Too Fast, Too Furious. It explains how Brian O'Connor gets to Miami in the first place.
Okay.
It's like 6 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. And it is very, very weird. Almost completely silent except for music and car sounds, like doors opening and closing, engines vrooming. I would say this one is not necessary to understand what happens, but Yeah, a bit of a change up here in Too Fast, Too Furious.
But, oh my God. Hold on, JD, so, did you know that Dom is not in the second movie?
I'm like, I did know that. It was a little spoiled for me because I looked, I thought it was Triple X he went to make after. But anyways, he did make Chronicles of Riddick and Pitch Black and that whole franchise. That's a whole other franchise, but but yeah, I did know that. So Trey, my question is this short, should we watch it? Should we, if we choose to watch it, should we watch it actually before we watch Too Fast, Too Furious, or is this something to watch afterwards?
I mean, okay, so like I said, this, the second movie takes place in Miami for the most part, but as we saw in the first movie, they're in California. If you want to know how Brian O'Connor made it from California to the East Coast, then yeah, you're going to want to watch it.
Yeah, it's just a road trip. Spoiler alert,
the guy drove the whole way. If you want to find out how he gets the car that he's driving in Too Fast, Too Furious, you're going to find out in this. It is a non-essential, though. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen it. I watched it today just because whatever, because this it's so stupid. But I was like, I gotta see it. I can't believe I actually haven't seen this one. I didn't need it.
Okay.
Didn't need it.
Well, I feel like we have to watch it, JD.
Yeah,
I mean, at least it's only 6 minutes.
Six minutes.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was like an hour 45, and we sat through it. We just talked about it for another basically hour 45. We could watch a 6 minute short to get Brian from California to Miami. I'm still flabbergasted that Dom's not in this. I'll be honest. I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
I of course know that Vin Diesel plays a part in the Fast and Furious movie franchise in the universe. I know he must come back. But now I got to find out how long he's gone for. Oh boy.
Things get weird because like we mentioned earlier, like I don't think Fast and Furious was expected to be a massive franchise like this where they're making 10 of them. It became a huge success. And kind of Paul Walker is the hero in this one, right? Like he makes the save, he gets the last scenes, this kind of stuff. He does the big stunt. So, you know, he kind of takes the lead in the second one. And meanwhile, Vin is chasing his action star dreams. And then I think he said in interviews, henceforth, like, I probably should have just stuck with it for Too Fast and Too Furious. Like, I could have had influence on the way the story turned out. But, you know, like, having now seen... Yeah, like the Marvel franchises or the Harry Potter franchises or the Star Wars franchises. You're like, there's no way they would do it in this order if they were doing it now. Because the second movie almost is a bit of an origin story for another one of the characters. Which, if you were building out like the whole world on purpose, you would probably do like, here's the massive first movie that's sort of Dom Toretto and Brian's origin story. Then here's a huge team up. And then, look, here's the origin story for another guy.
Yeah.
But since they didn't know this was going to be a success like this, the timeline gets pretty weird.
Okay. So can I ask you this? I mean, we're getting spoilers here, but there's no Dom, obviously, in the second one. Does that mean there's no Letty, Vince, Leon? Like, are they done because they're back in California?
We're doing a lot of world building for the Fastiverse here in Too Fast, Too Furious. You'll definitely hear references to things that took place in the first movie, and there are a couple of ancillary characters that cross over.
Okay. Hmm. Well, all right. I can't wait. That's coming at you next week. Too Fast, Too Furious, the second installment of the Fast and Furious franchise. I believe you can stream it on HBO Max, or you can rent or buy it on Amazon, Google Play, and iTunes. If you are like me and you've never seen these movies, or you know, you just want to, you know, refresh your memory, and maybe it's a little more enjoyable having just watched it as we go through the scenes and ask all these crazy questions we have. And if you have questions for us about Fast Friends here, email them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com, and then just put Fast Friends in the subject title so we can help differentiate the basketball questions from the Fast and Furious questions. That's NoDunks@TheAthletic.com, and just put Fast Friends in the subject title. Before we wrap this up, like I said, we'll eventually, once we have 2, 3, 4, 5 of these under our belt, I'd like to like get a nice little ranking going. You know, what's the best FF movie? What's the worst? But on a scale of 1 to 10, only having watched one so far, how would you grade the first movie in the series, Trey? What grade out of 1 to 10, 1 obviously being the worst and 10 being the best, would you give this?
Oh, it's an easy 10 for me. I can't believe it. You know, wow. you see people will do their lists of their favorite Fast movies, and one usually shows up in the top three. And sometimes you look at it with a side eye, like, is this pure nostalgia here? Are you right. giving a little bit of a respect bump for introducing the series? And certainly that's true, but I don't know. I was so into, like, the first half hour of this movie and the last half hour of this movie. There's some weird sped up stuff that goes on in the interim in between. But I'm like, Vin has incredible charisma in this. Paul Walker has great charm in this. It feels like you're in their world for the most part. You're learning all this random stuff about cars, and it just, I don't know, it feels like they found a subculture in street racing and they brought it to the big screen, and you're like, whoa, we've actually got some fun performances here. And I think that's why it ended up being a surprise success. So for me, I think it'll probably still end up in my top three. The joy of watching it back, it's such a different movie than the movies we're going to see as the series goes on. Way more intimate, which is weird to say for a movie that's about driving a car as fast as you possibly can and shooting harpoons into the windshield of a semi-truck. But it just feels like a smaller movie, and I thought it was awesome. I still love it, and I still think it's going to finish high on my list.
Okay, so it sounds like this could be almost like a Survivor Borneo type of thing here, where it's like, you know, it's people rank that high. Yeah. Even though, you know, it's the first one. It's different, but, you know, the nostalgic factor, and it's entertaining. But a 10 from TK, wow, I didn't see that coming. But JD, what would you give it?
You know, I'm pretty... The two things that I like most about this movie, the plot, the basic premise of the movie, I really, really like. It was another movie already, Point Break. And the other thing, probably the thing I love most about this particular movie, is the title. The Fast and the Furious is such a awesome title. It's like The Silence of the Lambs, or No Country for Old Men, or The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, like it's just like a badass title. Also not original. It was a movie from 1954, Roger Corman. So at best, I'm indifferent about this movie, so I'm going to give it a 5.
5?
Yeah.
See, this is going to be interesting. I wonder if you're going to regret that. A low 5 after we see some of these coming movies. Yeah. We'll find out. Okay. I'm going higher. I'm going a nice 7.5. I think, I was pleasantly surprised how the pace of it that I was into, you know, either I was laughing at them or I was engaged enough with Dom and then Brian. And then I liked all these like sort of secondary characters. We didn't even talk about like the whole Mexican crew. They're awesome. I like those guys. I like that team. I hope they show up later in this whole damn thing. But yeah, a nice 7.5, and we'll see where we go from there. I thought it was... it was fun. I mean, it just took me back to 2000, early 2000.
Oh, yeah.
With the music and the fashion. And then I guess that's probably a time in my life where I was around people that were the most into cars.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I never cared about cars. I never knew a thing about cars. But that post-high school, early college is when, in early 2000, exactly where it would place me, is like that's when friends or friends of friends were like, putting spoilers on their cars and putting lights on their cars.
Decals.
I was like, okay, not for me, but you do you. So, yeah, I'm going 7.5. We'll call it there. This is a lot of fun. Again, if you guys enjoyed it, make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on Apple or Spotify or YouTube. Send in your questions, nodunks@theathletic.com. Throw Fast Friends in that subject title if you have a specific question about this podcast here or this series moving forward. Guys, great to see you. We'll see you next week for Too Fast, Too Furious, that somehow doesn't have Vin Diesel in it. What?